This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show podcast.
There is a thing called double jeopardy. You can't be tried twice for the same crime. You can't be, you know, basically it goes like this. If you've been tried for a crime and you're found not guilty, they can't try you again. But the court allowed an exception for that to occur, which is that a state can charge you and the feds can charge you. Now, this really took steam during the civil rights era because you had a lot of southern states during the time who would find people who committed pretty heinous acts of violence not guilty. And then the feds would charge them for violating somebody's civil rights. It's how they got the cops who, and the whole Rodney King incident, those officers who were acquitted on the state level were then found guilty of violating Rodney King's civil rights in federal court. The question becomes, under our system of federalism, does each government entity get their bite at the apple, or are you, as a citizen, entitled to be left alone if you are found not guilty by a jury of your peers? Even if people know you got away with it. Even if people know that you really did it, but like OJ or something like that. Or can the feds get a crack at the apple? Or if the feds find you not guilty, can the state get a crack at the apple? This is very relevant right now, not only because of the guy whose case is being heard by the Supreme Court. It's very relevant in the Mueller probe. Yesterday, I mentioned to you that Michael Cohen, the president's former personal attorney, is cooperating with three entities. The first, of course, being Robert Mueller, the special counsel in the Russia probe. The second being the Southern District of New York, which is a federal jurisdiction. Second District of New York, the United States Attorney for the Second District of New York is the one overseeing that Southern District. And then a third entity, the Attorney General of the State of New York. And the reason why I said this is very significant is I said, I think the state of New York is going to go after the president because he can't pardon people on the state level. He can't let people off the hook on the state level. He can't fire prosecutors on the state level. And Mueller knows this, which is why he's working in tandem with the state. They're working side by side on this so that if the president fires Mueller or pardons any of these people, then the state attorney general in New York can step up and pick everything up where Mueller left off. See, we have gotten to a place now where the states were supposed to be the entity that took care of law enforcement. They really were. There were three federal laws back in the day when the government was formed. Three. States were supposed to be the entity under federalism that dealt with the police powers of the state, right? The feds were really supposed to deal with existential threats to the United States. That's changed a lot. Now there are competing crimes. You almost have, if you look at the law books, you look at the federal code, you look at state code, and they're almost identical. And so if I'm a prosecutor and I charge you in state court and I lose, then the Office of Civil Rights and the Justice Department can come in or another entity can come in and say, well, we're gonna charge you for something very similar. This happened to a guy in 2015 under the Obama administration. This guy had a gun. And he was found guilty on the state level. The feds did not like the sentence he got. They thought it was too light. They went after him in federal court under a federal gun statute. And then he was sentenced even further. This is Alabama. Terrence Gamble, sitting in prison today because he was prosecuted separately by Alabama and the federal government for having a gun after an earlier robbery conviction. So because he had been convicted, he's not supposed to have a gun, right? So he broke state and federal law. And the question then becomes, is that okay? Is that all right for the state and the feds to go after somebody? Is that okay for not only the state, but also the feds to go after somebody? And what if one finds you not guilty and then the other one does? What if they both find you guilty? What happens? And this is the question. Now, I have long said that I think the Constitution is pretty clear on this matter. You can't be tried twice. You can't be putting your life or limb in jeopardy twice for the same crime. And I think the founders meant the same crime. I don't think they meant on one level and then the other level. The courts, as they often do, took it upon themselves to expand this power. Civil rights scholars at Howard University, it's a historically black college, adopt a middle-of-the-ground view on this. It urges the courts to at least preserve the federal government's ability to lead civil rights prosecutions against people who have been acquitted of state charges. Civil rights charges to fight crimes of racial violence have been a key tool for federal prosecutors, especially when Southern juries were unwilling to convict defendants. The most recent example the scholars cited is the successful federal prosecution of Los Angeles police officers who have been acquitted of state charges in the beating of Rodney King. On the other side, liberal and conservative groups say that huge growth in federal criminal prosecutions in recent decades makes it urgent for the Supreme Court to rein in successive prosecutions for the same crime. Clarence Thomas, one of my favorite justices, he suggested in 2016 that we need to have a fresh examination of the issue of double jeopardy. Have to have a fresh examination of this. Because if you look at the power of the federal government now, it was never supposed to be this way. Never. It was never intended to be this way. But there is a law now for everything. There are so many laws, in fact, and so many different codes. It's hard to say. They don't even know how many. Let's put it this way. They tried to do a project a few years ago to actually get a count of how many different federal rules come with either jail or prison time or fines. And they lost count. They lost count. They couldn't do it. So you've got laws passed by Congress, and then you have all of these regulations that are passed that are not subject to congressional review, and they come very often with fines and jail time. They try to do a count, because for a long time, a number of senators, actually on both sides of the aisle, have been talking about this and saying, we got to do something. We got to rein this in. Guys like Rand Paul, Mike Lee, we got to rein this in. But they said, well, let's start with trying to understand how many laws there are. No idea. They literally lost count. They have no way of knowing. But I guarantee you this. If the federal government wants to get you, they've got a law for it. They've got a law or a regulation already passed. They can get you. No, it doesn't matter what it is. Piracy. I often use piracy as the example because I think probably 100% of us are guilty of that in one way or another. Watching something we weren't supposed to in terms of our friend let us watch a movie, a bootleg movie or Netflix password or something like that. But anyway, the real question becomes this. If President Trump were to pardon Michael Cohen tomorrow, Michael Cohen's crimes on the federal level go away. They cease to exist. It's like they never happened. But then the state moves in and says, well, we're going to charge him with all these different things relative to that. Same crimes, but just on our turf, on our soil, to keep the Mueller probe alive, keep it alive and well. It's a clear abuse of the provision of double jeopardy, a clear abuse of that. But for a long time, we've allowed this to occur. And different groups have wanted it, mostly on the left, though. Mostly the left has really loved the double jeopardy thing because they have found, as they often say, the states are not capable of justice. Only the federal government can give justice. Of course, now when Trump's the president, then it's the opposite. No, only the states can give justice, not the federal government. The dual sovereignty doctrine, as it's known. So this guy, Terrence Gamble, he was convicted of second-degree robbery, 2008, broke the law by possessing a pistol that a police officer found in his car during a traffic stop in Mobile, Alabama. And when I get back, I'll tell you what he did and why it was that the Obama administration said, not good enough, and went after him on the federal level as well. So they arrest this guy in Alabama, and he's found guilty of having a gun, even though he's on probation. They sentence him to a couple years in jail. The federal government says, we think he should be in jail longer. They charge him for the exact same offense. And he's found guilty in federal court, too. So now he's got to stay in jail till 2020. And he's appealing that. He's going to Supreme Court saying this violates the double jeopardy clause of the Constitution. Now, it's interesting to note, Congress never passed a law saying that you could be tried for the same offense in state court and federal court. The Supreme Court gave itself this own power. In 1852, the United States Supreme Court enunciated the power in 1852. Why? Well, some legal scholars think it had to do with slavery. Because what would happen is that some of the views of states clashed with other states, for example. The court initially embraced the idea in defense of slavery and later used it to shore up prohibition. Today, by the way, is repeal day. Happy Prohibition Repeal Day. The Supreme Court invented dual sovereignty largely to prevent free states from blocking the recapture of fugitive slaves. The justices worried that free states would undermine the Fugitive Slave Act by giving abolitionists a slap on the wrist for harboring runaways, thereby preventing federal prosecution. And then the 1920s rolled around, the progressive assault on America. The justices worried that with the enforcement of the Volstead Act, the 18th Amendment prohibition, if a state were to punish the manufacture, transportation, and sale of intoxicating liquor by small or nominal fines, it wouldn't be a big deal. So the court worried in a 1922 decision reaffirming the dual sovereignty doctrine, the race of offenders to the courts of that state to plead guilty and secure immunity from federal prosecution for such acts would not make respect for the federal statute. Now, the problem is the founders and I believe the framers of the Constitutional Convention clearly thought you should only be tried for a crime once because they didn't expect the federal government to ever become the major charging entity. They thought the states were. You think about it from this perspective. Here we are in Philadelphia. We're creating this new country, right? Go, we make the Constitution. What do the states say? The states want the Bill of Rights to protect the states and the people from the federal government. Which entity was in charge of the prosecutions back in the day? Well, for the most part, it was the states. But they were very fearful of the federal government's power in the matter, so they protected you and me, thank God, with the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, and also the Eighth Amendment. But from that point to now, we've gone to such a degree with the federal government, almost exactly as the founders warned, that we cannot even count all the federal laws, regulations, and rules that you may be violating and I may be violating that come with jail time or fines. So the Supreme Court has said, well, the state gets to charge you and so do the feds. You can be found guilty for both. And if one acquits you, you can be found guilty on the other. The left use this a lot for their various different things, as they argue with a lot with the civil rights cases. Well, but those racist states, so the feds got to go after them. And then with guns. Well, some of those states are too easy on guns, so now we got to go after them. And now with Mueller. Well, you know, the feds may, the president may get these people off with his pardon power, but then the states can go after them. So it'll be very interesting to see what the United States Supreme Court will rule. I believe they should rule the dual sovereignty clause I can't even say dual sovereignty clause of the Constitution. There is no dual sovereignty clause of the Constitution. This is a power the court created for itself. And I believe they should say that power is unconstitutional because there is nothing in the Constitution about it. So that's what I would like to see. And I believe that that would be in line with the Bill of Rights. But we don't know because we just don't know, given the nation's history in terms of being able to use the federal government as a law enforcement tool when the states have not done what some would like the states to do. So they say, well, we'll use the federal government then. The feds can go after them. Now it's the opposite, right? Now you'll get it's the opposite. They go, well, now the feds can't do it, meaning get this president. Now we'll have the states do it. That's why I think it's an absolute mess. The dual sovereignty clause that the court enunciated for itself, its own power, needs to go. I hope the Supreme Court will find it unconstitutional.
Rick Cioli, 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.